From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Of the Oxford Exxon Podcast, Chase Barham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. Today, we are going to talk to Kyle Fredrickson. He covers the Denver Broncos for the Denver Post. Chad Kelly, obviously, the storyline there as the former Ole Miss quarterback, the holder of the third most total yards in SEC history for a quarterback as well. I guess all-purpose yards, total yards, however you want to put it. He has moved up to the number two spot, at least for the time being, on the quarterback depth chart for the Broncos, surpassing Paxton Lynch, who they have a lot more money into, which is kind of interesting. That is the interesting part of this story, because in the NFL, obviously more to it than strictly just talent when you look into the contracts and everything. So we'll talk to him here in a little bit on the show. Got some football stuff going on. Had availability yesterday. We'll have availability tomorrow and the next day as well. So things getting close to kickoff for Ole Miss. Texas Tech just a few days away. But today you can get the lunch specials at Oxford Exxon. $4.99, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink, the ribs, the daiquiris for as little as $3.99, or as big as 44 ounces. And make sure you download SpeedPass Plus. You hook your mobile device up to it. You make sure you hook your credit cards up to it, and you just pay right there at the pump. Don't have to worry about identity theft, credit card skimmers. Don't have to worry about going inside. It is efficient. It is easy. It is convenient, and it saves you money in the process as well. And you're going to need a vehicle for that fuel, so you ought to go to Clark Ford in Amory.
You should. It would be the smart thing to do. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling, no hassle. You get your quote. You know the rest. You can chop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many others, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Get a great deal. You get great service after the sale, delivery options, really everything you want from your car guy, your truck guy. That's what Corey wants to be. 662-257-1900. Tell him you heard about it here on the Oxford Exxon Podcast, and you'll save $500.
So as we get into it this morning, since the last time we talked to you guys up at rebelgrove.com, Neil with a story on young linebackers that seem to be moving up the depth chart a bit for Ole Miss as fall camp continues. There is some other notes in that as well. There's a Matt Luke video up on the site at rebelgrove.com. There's Scotty Phillips video
Austrian
up on
Robinson.
That. And then as a compliment to the Phillips video, or I guess the other way around, I wrote about Ole Miss's running backs a little bit this morning. Jordan Wilkins gone. He had the fifth most rushing yards in school history last season before parlaying that into a fifth-round selection by the Indianapolis Colts. Ole Miss needs to fix one number while making the other one stick. The Rebels last year were 16th nationally in explosive runs, had a very high percentage of the runs go for at least 5 yards.
That's very good.
On the other side of it, they had 26% of their runs go for 0 or negative yards last year.
That's very bad.
That 12th in the SEC, that's 96th nationally. As a team, and yeah, when you've got really no experience in, I mean, Eric Swinney, the only player on the roster for Ole Miss at running back that has more than 8 carries last season. DK Buford had 8. Swinney, 41 last year, 42 for his career. He is averaging, I think, 4.8 yards a carry or something like that. But
Eric is a good complimentary back.
He just has nowhere near the explosiveness that was expected out of Sandy Creek after 2 devastating knee injuries.
Right, that's correct. It's not his fault.
Or one knee injury, 1 foot injury.
Yeah, and now I'm beginning to see it with Phillips. The one move, the one cut go.
5'8", 212-ish size.
Yeah, he's not a dancer, which I hate the dancers.
Just go. Get what you can get, especially with what should be an SEC upper-tier offensive line in front of him.
Should be.
Anchored by first-round pick Greg Little, Sean Rawlings at center, and the rest of the group.
And a really good redshirt freshman offensive guard.
Still liking him a lot.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I wrote about linebackers yesterday. I'm going to give myself this. I'm never going to be the guy that does the X and O breakdown because I just don't know football well enough to do it. But I am pretty good. This is where neutrality and stuff really helps you.
Not to cut you off real quick, just that number, because I didn't have it a second ago. Ole Miss gained 5 or more yards on a rush 41.1% of the time last season. So that's kind of the interesting thing, is when you look at it, 41% and 26%. So, I mean, 70% of their runs, give or take, either nothing or explosive.
Yeah, or bust or boom.
Yeah, very little right there in the middle, just productivity and moving the chains a little bit.
And you want to keep the big number.
You like to keep the big number.
But the last number can't stand. A little more than one out of every four of your runs are a complete disaster.
It's an incomplete pass when you should be. If that's the case, just throw it. Never know what might happen.
Right. What I was saying was,
go ahead.
I walk into practices. I'm not the guy, and I'm not making fun of this guy. I'm not. This guy exists on our beat in spades, and it's okay. I'm not making fun of him. The guy that shows up at practice and notices something about 70 people, I'm not good enough to do that. I can't do that. I'm simply don't know enough. I would be so paranoid about getting things wrong that there's no way I'm going to do that. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, I walked down to the defensive side of practice, and the first thing that stuck out was 27 was running with the ones, or what appeared to be the ones. I said, that's interesting. And 14 was running with him. And at first, I thought 14, I got my ears confused. I thought that was Victor Evans. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing at linebacker? And then I realized that's not who that is. And I said, so Zakirian Baker, I'm not going to call him by his nickname until he asked me to.
Devonte Ruggs.
And Devonte Ruggs.
Kavante.
Are starting at linebacker in what is essentially a 3-4 defense. And I said, well, that's interesting. Maybe this is a punishment thingy. So I watched along. Next group, Dietrich Bing Dukes. And is it, what's Hess's first name? Jonathan?
Jonathan Hess.
Jonathan Hess. Freshman from Alabama.
Yeah.
I said, well, now I'm really kind of intrigued. So I watched for a little while. I thought maybe this is just a drill. Maybe somebody's getting their hamstring worked on the side or something. You know, stuff happens in practice. You can make quick observations and really look stupid 5 minutes later. And I went over and spoke to someone who would know, who's inside the program. I said, is that Ruggs running with the ones, or am I imagining something? He goes, you're not imagining. I says, Hess with the twos? Yep. This just a day-to-day thing? Kind of got to look. It's this is the deal for Ole Miss, for their defense. This is where it's going to get really interesting. Wesley McGriff, John Summerall, they're going to earn their money. The best linebackers on that team are kids. In an ideal program, your program would be healthy enough at that position that you could take Kavante Ruggs, who I'm telling you, Chase, is going to be a stud. But he's 205-ish. He's listed at 190 in the media guide. I'd guess he's 200-ish.
Okay.
I'm guessing. He carries 200 remarkably well. To play linebacker in this league, he probably needs to get to 220. I don't like his chances to get to 220 by September 1st. In a quality way. I mean, I guess he could go just load up on some Snickers bars. But I don't think he's going to get there with the right kind of muscle mass and such. I'm not sure what Hess is listed as. He's every bit as thin, maybe a little, not quite as thin as Ruggs. In an ideal world, both of those guys redshirt. And next year, people are pretty excited about their potential. I don't think Ole Miss, I asked Matt Luke about this basically. I didn't use those words, but do you have to think about simplifying things to get your best players on the field? Yep, you do. You got to think about maybe getting one of them out there with a veteran so that they can communicate.
Hess is listed at 6'5", 222.
Okay, he's closer to it. They have a chance a year from now with those two kids to have two SEC linebackers in the middle. People say, why did – Ruggs' brother plays at Alabama. Why did Alabama not take him? Because Alabama's to the place where they don't have to take developmental kids. They don't have to. Period. And that's the program you're chasing. It is what it is. Alabama doesn't have to go out and and gamble and say, let's take a kid. We're going to have to put 30 pounds of weight on him. It might take a year and a half. They just go ahead and take the five-star kid who's ready to go. Ruggs has a chance, though. He's really athletic. He's long. It pops when you watch. Hess looks so much better than he did a week ago. He's long. He's athletic. Can interfere with passing lanes and such. Dietrich Bing Dukes is a true 4-3 middle linebacker. Fill an A gap. He's physical. He'll step in and stop the run. I'm not sure that he is as athletic as what you want, as long as what you want, but he's going to have to play. And then the other guy is Baker. Look, I'm a North Louisiana guy. I can make fun of North Louisiana. Okay? I'm from there. I can make fun of it. It's kind of like I can say something about my mom, but if you say something about my mom, I'm going to hit you. I know about Minden. We used to play against Minden. Minden's not running pro-style offense. Their linebackers are not working on pass coverage. Their linebackers just plug a gap and try to knock your teeth out. That's what Minden does. It's real simple football. Nobody ever goes to Minden, Louisiana, walks out of there going, you know, that's a really, really culturally advanced, intelligent place. That doesn't happen. Minden makes Monroe truly, truly look like Paris. So he's having to really learn a lot of football. He's only had a year. He's physical. He's athletic. He's not particularly good yet in space. And Matt Luke will tell you that. And you're getting ready to play teams that can exploit that. So they've got some issues at linebacker. The good news is, if you're an Ole Miss fan, the bad news is there are issues at linebacker. The good news is there are some solutions. How ready they are, I don't know. It's going to be a real challenge. And I'll give them credit. John Summerall yesterday, I watched him. He's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John Summerall would basically stand behind the linebackers, and as soon as the play was over, he was right with Ruggs. He was right with Hess. It was very constructive. It wasn't that yelling, spitting, throwing stuff. Constructive, hey, here's what we're trying to do. I'm gonna correct you immediately. We're gonna go through it, and then you know they're watching the film. They're trying to see over the next 2 or 3 weeks how much can we get these guys brought along to get them ready to play. And I don't know that they know the answers yet, but they obviously know that those are the best potential solutions and that with them you're going to have to accept that you're going to have some freshman mistakes because you are absolutely going to have freshman mistakes. But they're athletic enough to make plays. It's going to be interesting as the season progresses to see what they decide to do with those guys.
I haven't listened to the video yet. Matt have his voice yesterday?
He was much better.
Was it?
Yeah. It was much better.
Probably getting somewhat conditioned to it by now, a couple weeks in.
I'm going to guess that someone – smarter than me, said to Matt, if you do this, it's going to be gone by August the 20th, and you're not going to be able to do your job. You're going to have to let some other people yell for you.
What is going to be the topic of the Pulitzer that you are going to win based off the Kermit Davis press conference yesterday at basketball?
Oh. That they're not a finished product in August.
Stunned.
I think Kermit was concerned that some people overreacted. This might have been Kermit's first taste of Power 5 fan base. I think he was not taken back. I think he was surprised by the amount of reaction to 4 exhibition games in Canada.
Positively and negatively?
Yeah, in early August. I think he was.
Because they beat the crap out of that twin team, and then they got beat by Carlton or whatever by 18 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that it's early August with 5 true freshmen and 2 JUCO transfers, and the reactions are, yes! Oh, I don't know. Oh, my God! And then we came back! All of that's completely. Everybody's just off in space on this stuff. And it was 4 exhibition games in Canada in early August, before the fall semester started, with a team that includes a new coaching staff, 5 freshmen, and 2 JUCO transfers. If you make any sweeping judgment, positively or negatively, from those 4 games, you really need to dial it back.
That was his message.
I think. Got a lot of work to do. And the work's not getting done by November or December. It's going to be a work in progress. And he can't talk about recruiting. But the reality is, the hard part
he's
of the job.
He's got to win in living rooms.
Hard. Yes. If you're going to take the program to the next level, you're going to have to recruit recruits from the next level. Bottom line. He knows that.
It's clever.
I just think, I do, I honestly believe that that's...
Whoa.
That was the point. I think the point was to be like, hey, people, relax.
Don't freak
either way. Deep breath. It's going to be a while.
It's going to be a process.
Yes.
It's a marathon. This was like that. This wasn't even your 20-mile training run. This was just like a quick little 10K early on in the deal.
If you want to do the marathon thing, this was like that 3-mile training run that you do 2.5 months out.
Basically, you're going, okay, am I even in enough shape to go to the next leg of this bad boy?
Well, you're building up to get to the next leg. But you're nowhere close to like even the 14-mile Sunday run. You just did a little 3-mile run. And the app says, yeah, I know you don't think like you did much. There's a point here. Just trust the process.
Just keep going.
Tomorrow, we're going to ask you to run 4 miles. That's the deal.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the trip to Canada, I'm not even sure it was the 3-mile run. It might have just been the 1.5-mile stretch it out run. It's August. Early August. It was an opportunity for guys to see how they coach. He did find out that his team has some character and resilience, and that's really good, and I could have told him that. Those are good kids.
Yeah.
There's Terrence Davis, Brian Tyree, those kids. Those are good kids. Dominic Olenichuk is a really good kid. If anything, Dominic Olenichuk cares too much, gets down on himself too much. Bruce Stevens is a really nice kid. Last year, you know what Bruce Stevens did? Last year, Bruce Stevens had the JUCO thing where he learned, oh, shit, you have to play defense. Like every other JUCO transfer who's ever transferred to the Power Five.
They're going to fight for him. It's just a matter of...
He'll be okay. He's lost some weight. They're going to tell him here when he comes back in a week, you're going to have to lose more.
Yeah.
Losing weight sucks. It's no fun. But they're going to work him. They're going to put him in some tough situations. We'll see what happens. 5 freshmen, new coaching staff, 2 JUCO transfers. It's going to be a process.
Before we talk some Chad Kelly, I'll tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. You go to mastercutslawn.com, find out about the annual contract you can sign to let them take care of your yard all year long. They can also build outdoor living areas, outdoor kitchens, and tell them you heard about the podcast. They'll hook you up with some specials there as well. So again, mastercutslawn.com, 662-607-7773.
The podcast is also brought to you by Brian McLaurin. How well do you know your credit? Brian McLaurin is an experienced attorney offering a unique, highly personalized service to not only repair credit, but also educate clients on the ever-changing world of credit. He'll work with you for an entire year to help you create a personalized plan to raise your credit score, to help you meet your financial goals. No one else offers this kind of personalized credit counseling. This is why Gambrell and Associates refer their clients to Brian to get a fresh start. So whether you're looking to fight off debt collectors, get approved for home car loans, or for that luxury credit card, let Brian McLaurin get your credit fixed and teach you how to take control of your credit. He provides you the valuable information he's acquired through years of experience and research. It allows him to offer a unique, personalized service for anyone in any state, as he's always available to his clients by phone and email. Contact Brian at bhmclaurinlaw@gmail.com or call him at 662-298-2029. Youth basketball registration in the Oxford Park Commission is right around the corner. It starts September the 4th. Sign up your son or daughter for one of their leagues. The age range is 5 to 15. The cost is just $50. Last year, OPC had more than 600 kids take part in the leagues, and the numbers are expected to be similar this year. So don't miss your opportunity when it comes to sign up for OPC Youth Basketball. It's www.oxfordparkcommission.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Send him an email at ha@harryalexander.com. And the podcast brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Gene and Sandy Grass and the people at Grenada Nissan are the people you need to be dealing with. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. You have great service. I've dealt with them for years, at least a decade. I've never had anything but a wonderful experience. You will too. GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Now we'll go to Kyle Fredrickson of the Denver Post on the Billy's Pecans Hotline.
All right, Kyle, thanks so much for being with us. Really appreciate it here on this Tuesday morning. I guess, obviously, it's big news in Denver. It's big news here in Mississippi, obviously, with the career that Chad Kelly had at Ole Miss. I'm curious, as you've watched training camp unfold over the course of the last few weeks, did you sort of see this Chad Kelly promotion, Paxton Lynch demotion coming?
Yeah, it was very interesting what the Broncos were going to do here, because just simply based on their play throughout the course of training camp now, we're past double digits for with the Broncos now and getting ready for the regular season in terms of the practices they've had. Kelly had outperformed Lynch, had a little bit more fire running the offense, was way more aggressive, way more accurate, you know, felt very much more comfortable, it appeared, in the pocket, making plays, extending plays when he had to. But for the Broncos, this was a little bit of a shot to their pride, because here's Paxton Lynch, a guy they took in the first round a couple of years ago, really believed he was the future of the franchise, even traded up to get him out of Memphis. And then here comes Chad Kelly, Mr. Irrelevant, the very last pick in the draft. Really, the Broncos taking the chance on a guy who had a knee surgery and then was going to have some wrist surgery and was going to be a long-term project. So this was really Chad Kelly's first chance to show the Broncos what he could do in camp. But you know, obviously with the news of Monday and the Broncos making that decision to promote Kelly, does say a lot about how the Broncos think of him at this stage in his career. And I think moving forward, potentially what he might mean to this franchise moving forward.
Yeah, I was going to get to that because I'm curious, you know, the whole Mr. Irrelevant thing obviously he was Mr. Irrelevant. He was the last pick of the draft. It's baffling for those of us who covered him in college, because of just his arm talent, his ability to make plays, some of the wins that he had at Ole Miss. You know, he led Ole Miss to a Sugar Bowl and was just fantastic that season. Quite frankly, had they had a better defense, he would have been a Heisman candidate. Do you think that he fell in the draft the way that he did because of the injuries, or did the stuff from, you know, the nightclub in Buffalo and the stuff at Clemson, did all of that stuff sort of linger as well?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to examine a little bit. And for me personally, it's super interesting because I actually covered Oklahoma State football between 2014 and the 2016 season. So I was actually there in New Orleans when Chad Kelly put it on the Cowboys in that Sugar Bowl.
Sure.
And you're right. The arm talent, just the swagger he led that team with, having weapons like Laquan Treadwell and Ingram and all those guys, the way he was able to utilize them. You're right. That was a guy who appeared to be sort of a Heisman contender, a guy who sort of had that Baker Mayfield style moxie of when you have him under center, you really feel like you got a good chance to win no matter what the situation is. So for the Broncos, you know, it's hard to say exactly why they would have taken him with that very last pick in the draft, you know, especially for where they were sitting when they picked him. You know, the Broncos had Paxton Lynch in camp. They had Trevor Siemian in camp. So it's not as though they necessarily needed a quarterback. But, you know, when you got a president of football operations like John Elway, and then I'm sure he watched a ton of Kelly film going into that draft, he had to like what he saw. And I think, you know, when you have the vote of confidence from a guy like Elway, who's obviously a Hall of Famer and a legend around here, that goes a long way. And for Paxton Lynch, if he continues to play the way he's played and continues to develop, you know, maybe the Broncos will look pretty smart and then that pick with taking Kelly with the last overall selection.
You're covering the NFL. I mean, you covered big-time college football. It's a business. The NFL's an even bigger business. There's also a lot of corporate pride that goes into the draft and all of that stuff. There's a lot of really smart people and people who think they're really smart, who sit in a room and break these players down. And Denver traded up to take Paxton Lynch. They thought, you know, he's their guy. He's going to be the quarterback of their future. How much, from what you've been able to gather from talking to people in Denver, how much just internal discussion went into demoting him to third string? Was there any resistance? I know it's Elway's baby, but was there any resistance inside the organization? I mean, how difficult was it, I guess I'm asking in a really long-winded way, to admit that perhaps you made a mistake on Paxton Lynch in the first round?
Yeah, I think it was really challenging, and not only for the Broncos' pride in making their first rounder a third stringer in his third season, but for the Broncos, they have to decide what they're going to do with Paxton Lynch. And in a sense, that might also dictate what the future of Chad Kelly is, because at this point, I don't know that Paxton Lynch has much of any trade value, maybe a conditional seventh round pick at this point. You know, we saw what the Browns did. And sending one of their first round receivers to another team for almost nothing. The Broncos would hate to be put in that situation. They'd like to get something for Lynch. He just simply hasn't put enough on tape. When you're in your training camp and then you go ahead and demote a guy like that and demote Lynch, that's even more reason why other NFL teams maybe wouldn't want to take him and wouldn't want to do anything there. So for the Broncos, you know, they got a tough choice now. You know, do they bring in a veteran, a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, maybe? There's a few other names floating around there as guys who, you know, could be very solid backups to potential starters in this league. And backing up Case Keenum, if the Broncos did do that, there's a chance they might just hang on to Paxton Lynch and say, hey, you know, we'll give you one more year. We'll let this contract play out. And in that case, unfortunately for Kelly, he could be in a situation where he'd be cut. With all the buzz he's generated at this point and what he's done in the preseason, no doubt another team would go out and get him into camp. But I know for Broncos fans, they'd hate to see that happen, you know, just with already kind of the short love affair they've had with Kelly, chanting his name in the stadium and really just kind of getting behind the way this guy's plays. So for Kelly, it sure sounds like he'd like to stay in Denver. He said that he loves learning under Case Keenum so far. He's enjoyed the culture here. Second year, you know, with the franchise, a little bit of familiarity there. But no matter what happens, I think Kelly's put enough on tape at this point. Well, he'll get his shot somewhere, if not in Denver.
What do you think happens? Is there a kind of a consensus yet as to which way the Broncos are leaning?
It's hard to say, because like I said, I think it all depends on what happens to Paxton. Do the Broncos end up shipping him off as maybe a multiplayer deal to get a backup quarterback? You know, I think then Chad Kelly stays on the roster at number three. Or maybe they decide they just simply can't get anything from Lynch and they want to, you know, there's not much value there, but they still want him on the roster. Just because he's that first round pick, because he has the measurables, as a guy who's just really big with a big, strong arm, really just kind of towers over Kelly and Keenum physically in practice, kind of funny juxtaposition there. But you know, if I had to follow my gut, I do think that the Broncos will keep him. I think their hand might get forced by the end of the day, just by how well he played. I don't know that he's going to be the backup. I think the Broncos will go get a vet. But for my guess, I would imagine that he does stay in Denver just based on kind of what he's done here so far.
Case Keenum's had a really solid career. He's 30 years old. He threw for 3,500 yards, actually a little more than that, a year ago in Minnesota, had 22 touchdowns. His passer rating was over 98. I mean, he's obviously more than a serviceable NFL quarterback. Is there any feeling building at all? I know would be really early. Any feeling building at all around that Broncos organization that perhaps – I mean, obviously not right now, but perhaps down the road a little ways, Chad Kelly could not only be a guy that makes the roster, but could be the quarterback there?
You know, I don't think it's out of the question. You know, I think it is just really, really early at this point, you know, being that Chad was with the team, you know, this time last year, but unable to participate as a full participant through this training camp period. This is the first time the Broncos are really getting their really first look at Chad. You know, this is the first time they've seen him operate with the threes and now the twos. I think he just needs more time before we can say definitively that he'll have that opportunity. But based on Keenum's past, I mean, I don't think it's out of the question to say that this could be a guy who might revert into sort of that journeyman that we'd seen, you know, to see the reason why the Vikings maybe didn't, you know, pick him up and decided to go get Kirk Cousins instead. You know, but that's just sort of a lot of looking ahead. As at this point, Keenum has looked incredibly sharp in practice. He's had a really good rapport with all of those receivers. The Broncos first team really did struggle out of the gate against the Vikings in that opening preseason game. So we'll have to see what Keenum in that first team does against Chicago coming up here on Saturday. But, you know, it seems like a situation for me where, you know, the Broncos are going to let this thing play out. Chad Kelly's so early in his career that I don't think they know what they have for sure right now. But obviously they've watched the tape. They've watched him in those big games and they've liked the early showing. So I think at this point it's kind of up to Chad to see how far he might be able to take this thing.
I know I'm kind of just repeating what you said a few minutes ago, but I was thinking about it and it's really kind of funny because his success has almost been a detriment to the Broncos because it's going to be really, really hard now to, hey, if Keenum gets hurt, put him in immediately because they haven't seen much, as you say. However, at the same time, it's going to be really hard to slot him down to a practice squad slot too, considering how he's played as well and some buzz he's picked up around the league.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, he's a guy who, you know, on the open market, I think, in terms of, you know, what teams are willing to pay him to be on their practice squad or to be on their roster, is going to rise as he continues to perform here. So yeah, for Chad, you know, he just has to continue being steady. You know, he's talked a lot about just his need to continue to have his nose in the playbook. He really hasn't bought into a lot of this hype yet, you know, at least publicly. Known enough about the guy, I'm sure internally he's incredibly confident and thinks he could probably definitely beat out Paxton Lynch, you know, by the end of this camp to be that guy. But he's been very supportive of Paxton, really has said all the right things. So yeah, for the Broncos, you know, it is a strange situation because they could have a guy on their hands who has star potential. It's just so early, and then they all went and spent out all this money on Case Keenum to bring him in here. So, you know, to see how that battle plays out and even to watch practice these next few days, you know, that might give us a better indication of what the Broncos' long-term plan might be.
Yeah, last couple of things, and really appreciate your time. I know you're very busy this time of year. You mentioned the game on Saturday. It's, an 8:05. I think it's 8:05 our time, 7:05 your time, Chicago at Denver. I know you don't know the answer to this necessarily just yet. What's your kind of gut feeling for how the quarterback snaps get divvied up on Saturday night?
Well, my guess is that the starters will probably play a quarter and a half max. You know, Vance Joseph, in going into this last game, pretty much set the standard that he was going to play his starters for only two series. You know, I would imagine he'd sort of like to have that soundbite back and maybe readjust that plan with how poorly the first team played against the Vikings and the Broncos immediately go into Lynch. But if I had to guess, like I said, quarter and a half, and then I would think that Lynch would get a pretty sizable workload after that going into the fourth quarter. Like I said, he flashed so much promise, and now he's going to have his chance to be in a live game setting with the twos. If he really shines there and if he throws some touchdowns and makes some smart decisions, you know, that's going to really ramp up this process. And you know, with Paxton Lynch going against the threes, maybe that allows him to be more successful. But, I mean, based on everything we've seen so far, you know, the probability of that, you know, doesn't seem too high. So, absolutely a huge opportunity for Chad Kelly against a retooled Bears defense that has some pretty young star defensive players. So, watching him pair up against that should be interesting to watch.
And last thing, you mentioned Minnesota. You saw the Vikings here pretty recently. And if you don't know, have any insight on this, no one's going to hold it against you. I'm just curious. Did you get a chance to talk to any of the Vikings guys about Laquon Treadwell or make any kind of personal observations of your own as to sort of where he stands and what is a critical year for his career?
Yeah, you know, not personally. You know, I wasn't able to go in the Vikings locker room after the game to speak on Laquell, but it's a good question. It's an interesting question. Another guy, you know, who's got a little bit of cross history with me covering Oklahoma State. You know, OSU was one of his finalists, you know, going into college and to see what he accomplished at Ole Miss. Obviously a guy you thought would be a dominant playmaker in the NFL, but you're right. A little bit of a make or break season for him, being a young guy, doesn't want to get branded, you know, as a guy who didn't live up to his potential. So to see him, you know, develop a little bit with Kirk Cousins, should be fascinating to watch. You know, I loved watching Laquon in college and seeing what he was able to do with the QB like Chad Kelly. So to be in an NFL system with a proven veteran quarterback, you know, I think the sky's got to be the limit for him. And you know, I don't have any personal insight by any means, but you know, I'd expect him to have a big year just based on what we've seen out of the guy in the past.
Hey, great stuff. Really enjoyed reading some of your stuff last night as I was kind of searching for someone to talk to, and really appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. I won't say enjoy the rest of training camp, endure the rest of training camp, and good luck covering the Broncos this season.
Yeah, no doubt. It's been a blast covering Chad. He's a good guy. Obviously, you mentioned maybe some of the character concerns in the past, but you know, Ole Miss fans will be happy to know he's been an upstanding citizen out here, and Broncos fans have certainly made him their preseason crush. So if he keeps performing, it should make our lives interesting as reporters covering all down here. So we'll keep you guys updated as it comes down.
If you talk to him, tell him that Neil and Chase said hello. We'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Sounds good, fellas. Bye.
All right, bye.
Thanks to Kyle for his time out of what has to be a busy schedule for him, considering the Broncos still in camp, just now kind of getting going. But good stuff there on Chad Kelly. More on that in a second. First, I'll tell you that the name to know in the Mid-South real estate market is Stacy Berry, a Keller Williams agent looking to help you find your special place to call home, whether it's downtown, midtown, Germantown, or Collierville. Born and raised in the Bluff City, she knows the dynamic and unique intricacies that it has to offer. She's wanting to put you in the 901 today. So if you're a first-time home buyer looking to downsize, she'll evaluate and determine your current home value and sell it quickly for top dollar. Buying, selling, or investing in real estate, the Berry Home Team is the way to unlock Memphis for you. You can reach her at 901-481-6420, Stacy Lane Berry at kw.com, or theberryhometeam.com. That's Stacy with an E, the name to know in Memphis.
Kyle Fredrickson and other guests join us here on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. It's billyspecans.com. We've been telling you about it as the season gets near. The high school season is basically here. It starts on Friday for real. The college season, another 2 weeks away. Whether you're heading over to Houston for a road trip, whether you are getting ready for your first tailgate in the Grove, Billy's Pecans would be a really great way to go. The cinnamon spice pecans, terrific. Toasted pecans, all sorts of chocolate pecans, dark chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate amaretto, chocolate Grand Marnier, and more. They've got the cheese crispies, which are just fantastic. They're not that dry cheese crispy thing. They're just great. You'll love them. They go perfect with a libation of your choice hanging out in the Grove as you get ready for Ole Miss and Southern Illinois in the opener. Pecan brittle, coffee cake, sauces, jellies, and more. They're at Billy's Pecans. Get in touch with Stacy and the people there at Billy's Pecans. Stacy and Bailey, they'll take care of you. Tell them you heard about it here on the podcast. We would appreciate that. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. And speaking of tailgating, if you're getting ready to tailgate in the Grove, the 7 opportunities this year, whether you're coming up for 1, coming up for 7, some number in between, whether your tailgate is intricate and complicated or whether your tailgate is super simple, 7 South Tailgating is the way to go. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try them once. You'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one's going to match their customer service, their attention to detail. So get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the people at 7 South Tailgating at 7southtailgating.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs, tysondrugs.com, or they're in Holly Springs downtown. They have a great app as well. 662-252-2321 is that phone number to give them a call. Go to the website, fill out forms, or just stop by. Also now in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy. They deliver local in the Oxford area and also located there on South Lamar, just off the square kind of. So anyway, we will talk about a couple different things here with Chad. I meant to ask him, and we told him 15 minutes, kept him 12 seconds less than that, so pretty good. Okay, they hate Paxton Lynch, so that's a huge part of this. Is that what driving a lot of this? Is it Kelly's reputation, Kelly's last name? What's made a third-string quarterback a fan favorite during the early part of a camp?
It's a lot of things. It's his last name. His uncle's beloved. His uncle's going through a brutal life challenge right now and
correct,
handling it with a level of class and grace that is really admirable.
Yes.
That's part of it.
Sure.
Part of it's the way that Chad plays the game. Chad loves football. He loves it. And that shows.
He does not lack for confidence.
But part of it is he was Mr. Irrelevant. We down here, we see him as the dude that just aerated the SEC. It's cool.
Led an incredibly impressive season that frankly never got its full due for what he actually did.
If Ole Miss had been worth a damn on defense, he wins the Heisman Trophy and they play in the national playoffs. But they didn't play in the national playoffs, and he didn't win the Heisman Trophy. And if you live in Golden, Colorado, or Colorado Springs, or Laramie, Wyoming, and you're a big Broncos fan, I'm not sure how much of that season you really saw.
You probably watched some of him beat Alabama. You remember the fluke play, and then you might have turned on the Sugar Bowl when he was just killing an outclassed Oklahoma State team.
And let's be real about two of those games. The Alabama game happened late at night.
He ate something.
It ended at 1 in the freaking morning. Yeah. The Sugar Bowl was a night game on New Year's Day when, you know, by the time that game kicked off, you might have been halfway through the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just being real. Yeah, There's a real chance that the guy who's a pretty big Broncos fan
hadn't seen a lot of Chad.
Didn't really know a lot about Chad Kelly other than he was Mr. Irrelevant and he's Jim Kelly's nephew. That's about it. I saw him play. He lit up Alabama one time. I never saw him again.
Yeah.
You live in Colorado. Maybe that's not your team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much SEC are you really watching in Colorado Springs?
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So I think it's some of that. It's Mr. Irrelevant. Everyone loves an underdog, and Chad's sort of been put in the underdog role. And then I also think it is – this is where I give credit to people like Ben Craddock, who – took Chad under his wing the last couple of years and said, hey, you need to do some interviews. Like, Chad probably didn't really want to come over here and do that interview. Probably not really what he wanted to do at this hour that morning. Probably not really what he wanted to do, but Ben said, you need to do it.
Yeah, he said yes to us every single time.
And in Jackson, he came and sat with us, and we talked. I don't know that that's really what Chad wanted to do, but he did it.
Went to the school with Ben and DiBiase and those guys that day.
Yeah, I just think he's grown up some. I think he's kind of got a big heart. He loves football. And when he takes the field, there's just a thing about him. There always has been. Hey, let's do this. Let's go. Here we go. And then he can throw the hell out of it. And people see that. And they go, dude. Because in the NFL, you got to be one of two things as a quarterback. You've either got to be that elite game manager.
Not Chad.
Or you got to have arm talent dripping off your wrist, elbow, shoulder, tricep, bicep, forearm thing. It's got to be there, Brett Favre, Elway. And yes, Chad Kelly has that sort of arm. Now, he didn't play last season. He was hurt. He suffered a pretty significant knee injury at Ole Miss to end of season.
Yeah, he's not in peak form right now.
He's getting there, and it'll be interesting. And if you're Denver, it's an odd spot. Because here's the business part of this. Admitting, man, we really, really screwed this Paxton Lynch thing up, but we're not going to get crap for him. That's a total loss.
He looks lost.
It's a corporate loss. That's hard. It's hard to do. If you've ever been in business, you know how hard that is to admit, well, we missed that one. So it's that, and then it's okay.
He makes such a good point, though. They've seen so little of him. Do they trust him to go into the game if Keenum sprains an ankle on play one?
Oh, or worse. They probably trust him if he sprains an ankle. Hey, can you run in and run a series? Yeah, but what if Case Keenum, and I don't wish this on Case Keenum. Case Keenum blows his ACL in the third quarter of week two. What do you do? I mean, Kelly finishes that game, but what do you do on Monday morning? Do you go out and get a veteran to come in and be your guy?
But see, here's the thing. It's what we talked about with Kyle. If I really believe that Kelly has even a shot to be my starting quarterback for a 5 or 6 year stretch or whatever it is, I make him the number two, and if somebody gets hurt, then maybe I bring in
a Teddy Bridgewater.
A Teddy Bridgewater, and leave Kelly as the backup. If you're the Broncos and you're already getting so much public backlash for Paxton Lynch, I cannot run the risk of bringing in Bridgewater, cutting Kelly, him not getting through waivers, and then ends up in freaking with the Jets or somebody and becomes a freaking All-Pro.
Well, he's not getting through waivers.
That's what I'm saying. So you're not getting him to the practice squad.
I mean, a team like Minnesota, a team like the Giants. I mean, there's some teams out there that have older quarterbacks who would look at it and go,
hey, put him behind Breeze for a couple seasons.
Yeah, Sean Payton might
in
look
that offense.
Sean Payton might look at that and go, so you want what, a seventh rounder? Okay.
Well, you put the him New York Giants. No, hey, you put him on waivers. You just sign him.
Yeah, the New York Giants might look at a guy like Chad Kelly and go, Eli's not getting any younger. Why not?
It's not costing me anything. All I'm doing is handing him a helmet.
The last time we took an Ole Miss quarterback, it worked out.
What the heck?
It's going to cost
me. There's literally no negative.
It's going to cost me what? $50,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in.
We got that.
Got that laying around. Got that in the car drawer. Yeah. You know, the little thing in your car. You like search for 22 cents. Got it.
I don't have to call anybody to make that one happen.
That's easy. Yeah. So if you're Denver, no, you can you cannot risk cutting him.
And then he end up a starting quarterback in the NFL.
And then a year from now, he leads the Giants to a 10-6 record. Or 3 years from now, he's got the Saints
staying on their window.
13-3, yeah. Throwing the ball all over the Super Bowl. I mean, the Superdome.
Yeah.
Or worse, the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
No, if you're Denver right now, you've got the Lynch thing that makes you look stupid and the Kelly thing that makes you look smart. You tell me which one you're going to invest in.
But you got corporate people and executives that go, I cannot give up that investment. And that's what they're running the risk of right now.
But I think, and that's why I said this yesterday, and I think I'm right. We'll see.
Yeah.
This is where having John Elway and the capital that he has as both a player and as an executive.
Mm-hmm.
John Elway's the guy that went to Peyton Manning and talked him into Denver. And they got one of those big silver trophies for him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's where he can
probably build you some capital.
Build you a lot of capital. And he, as a quarterback, won a couple of those big silver trophies.
A lot of capital there, too.
Yeah. And they got to the big game where the trophy's on the line several times. So I think there is some capital that he can expend, and he can be the guy that says, you know, we wish Paxton nothing but the best. It didn't work out. Sorry. Here's the good news. We really like what we see out of Chad Kelly, and going forward, he's going to get some snaps. If I'm Denver Saturday night, Chad Kelly's getting extensive snaps.
Yeah, I'm giving him a chance to put this thing to bed.
I'm getting him a chance to make my decision easier one way or the other for me. So those of you out there going, but I mean, I'm just saying, if you're the Broncos, from their perspective, you want Chad Kelly to go out there on Saturday night and either come back to earth
or look phenomenal.
You don't want much ambiguity. You kind of want to see some extreme. Because if he goes out and destroys the Bears, then you say, hey, 6 days from now we play. I can't remember. I had it up. I think it's Baltimore. No, it's Washington. They go to Washington. 6 days later, you're like, let's take him to Washington and get some snaps again. Let's see what this is. And if he comes back to earth, you go, it's probably time to go get the veteran. Now, on the 20th of August, let's go get our veteran, get him in camp, so that he can get acclimated.
Pick your dude.
And then we'll figure out what to do with this Kelly
in a minute.
Lynch thing in a minute. Let's right now get the backup for Case. NFL preseason, if you're following certain players or if you're invested in a team, can be really fascinating because the business side of the NFL really shows in August.
We didn't talk about this yesterday, and it's not going to be overly interesting to a lot of our listeners. That's a way to promote something, but it will be from just a business standpoint, from a sports standpoint, because I don't care about the player at all, but I found this fascinating yesterday. This Kawhi Leonard thing with the Clippers and getting
The Bruce Bowen thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Getting rid of Bruce Bowen. So let's fill anybody ready here. Probably you missed this because, frankly, I missed it a little bit. So the Clippers, desperate for Kawhi Leonard in a year when he comes out of free agency.
Yeah, it's going to be a loaded NBA free agent class.
He's toiling around in Toronto right now, got a year left, and they're just trying to set up something to have a puncher's shot in a year, basically, is where we are right here.
Yes.
Not the favorite, just a shot.
They're gambling that his desire to return to Los Angeles, where he is from, he's from Compton, his desire to return to Los Angeles is so strong that the Clippers will have a shot if he doesn't want to play with LeBron with the Lakers.
So Bruce Bowen was a commentator covering the Clippers for one, the whatever the Fox regional broadcast is.
Excellent.
He's good. I know nothing about
really,
that.
Really, really good.
All right. Quoting here says, according to Woj, of course, says, team got all rattled after Bowen went on the radio and sent light criticism in Leonard's direction. At the time, Bowen was in the process of renewing his contract with Fox Sports West, but all this got scuttled.
A quick timeout.
Yep.
Bruce Bowen was one of the most popular Spurs ever.
Okay.
Bruce Bowen's very tight with people in the Spurs organization.
So it wasn't like he was having to guess at anything going
very
on.
Very tight with Pop. Knows Greg Popovich. Very tight with the people there in San Antonio. So he probably, whatever criticism he relayed, and I'll let you do this in a second, was not off the seat of his pants. It was pretty
exactly
informed.
What he was saying.
He was informed.
So it says here, he goes on Sirius XM radio, and this is the quote that made everybody mad. Two paragraphs. Think there's nothing but excuses going on. First, it was, well, I was misdiagnosed. Look here, you got $18 million this year, and you think they're trying to rush you? Question mark. You didn't play for the most part a full season this year, and then you're the go-to guy. You're the franchise. And you want to say they didn't have your best interest at heart? Are you kidding me? I think he's getting bad advice. I think that's what you're starting to see now is an individual giving a certain amount of advice, and it's not the right advice. Here it is. You were protected in San Antonio. You were able to come up during a time when you could still lean on Tim and Tony and Manu. That's all. That's all he said whatsoever. I mean, light criticism is too strong for what that was.
It's not
was
even just criticism.
It was a comment to a question, and the Clippers.
And he's right.
The Clippers sent word out because basically the team controls the way commentators work on these regional channels. They fire Bruce Bowen because Kawhi might get mad about that in a year. This is a joke.
Well, two things. One, the Spurs may be the model organization in professional sports.
That's fair.
Whether you like the NBA or not, doesn't matter. From the way they operate, they very well may be the model organization in professional sports. The Clippers, on the other hand, are not the model organization in professional sports. So there is some extreme.
I mean,
here.
Donald Sterling's only like the fifth crazy thing they've done in the last 5 years. So
I mean, the Clippers, the Clippers don't exact. They're the New York Mets of the
Cleveland
NBA.
Browns.
They're the Cleveland Browns of the NBA. So there's a certain degree of before everybody gets super worked up about this. Clippers are going to clip. And what Bruce Bowen said about Kawhi and the Spurs is exactly right.
But forget that even. It wasn't criticism. No. Somebody said, hey, what do you think about the Kawhi situation? And that's what he said. He probably got off and went, okay, fine. About one day.
Went and played golf.
Yeah, who cares?
Anything of it. Got an organic smoothie and played golf. Finds out later that he's fired. He'll get another gig. He'll be fine.
Somebody will bring him on.
Oh, yes. He's very good.
But, and I know the answer. I mean, the team controls that, whatever. But
I'm not going to get super worked up about it because it's Clippers are going to clip.
Okay.
You have to understand.
Had the Spurs fired him from the San Antonio broadcast, you'd
I would
be
breathing fire right now. Okay. But because it's the Clippers, and I
you
know,
just expect idiocy from the organization.
You're not an NBA guy.
No.
And
no,
so
no.
There's no way you could know this without being an NBA guy. If you follow the NBA the way that I follow the NBA, this is not even remotely surprising. Not even a little. It's like, oh, really? Yeah, I had a Pop-Tart for breakfast. You just move on.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. It's like, take out the criminal stuff, but like it's almost kind of like, you know, going, well, you know, the old Baylor admin did something really stupid this morning. You go, okay, fine, great. Let's move on with our day. I get it, but I don't know. Just saw it, and it was interesting to me in relay that it's crazy sometimes what gets passed and what doesn't. But anyway.
Apparently, I triggered some people on the Pubs board about my post about Twitter.
Yeah, you did not get a lot of agreement over there, I did notice.
Yeah. Twitter's never paid me a dime.
Yeah, there's a big argument on we have our own message board, people. The employees of rivals.com.
I spend very little time on it.
You do.
And I went and
we were having a discussion about somebody asked for Twitter followers in your market and how you were doing in your market with Twitter followers, and a lot of them are trying to argue that it indirectly leads to tons of business. Is where it's going.
You think it does?
Well, I think there's a smart way and a dumb way to use Twitter. And if you use it in a smart way, it can't hurt you. The bad way can hurt you.
But a lot of the people who do Twitter, in my opinion, is it becomes a, how do I say this nicely on a podcast, family podcast? Okay, it becomes a measuring stick of sorts.
A measuring stick, that's good. literally.
Yeah.
I
think some of those people, in an attempt to... get more meat on the measuring stick, they give away all of their product, and we're subscriber based. I don't want to give it away on Twitter if I can put it on rebelgrove.com.
Well, and here's the deal too. It's how the markets are so much different. What they're trying to argue is the reason they use Twitter. Well, the way the incredibly most efficient and best way to do that is what we're doing right now. It's the podcast. So the things that they try to argue, well, if I do this on Twitter, it does this. Well, yeah, my podcast does that, and it reaches a lot more people than your tweet does when you put it out. So it's a much more effective tool for what they're trying to accomplish with that form of social media. Because frankly, even Facebook is better than Twitter from a publication tool for writers. Anyway, I'll tell you quickly, that is, we're getting close to football season. Locker Stockers can take care of you. They take the hassle out of stocking your locker or suite before game day. Customer places the order, and they handle the purchase and delivery to your locker or suite. They can do Vaught Hemingway, the Pavilion, or Swayze Field when the time comes. Give them a call, 662-586-1487, or info at lockerstockers.com.
Amazing how worked up people get about that. It was just a comment, just an observation on my part. I think that I upset some people.
Did you?
I don't know.
Did you go over there or somebody email you?
Gabe made sure that I was aware.
Oh, okay.
Gabe likes to say, hey, it's Tuesday morning. Let's see if I can push Neil's buttons.
Was Gabe offended?
No, Gabe agrees with me completely.
Gabe's not offended?
Gabe will tell you, Gabe DeArmond covers Missouri for Rivals. You've heard him on the podcast. We'll get him on again soon. He'll tell you that he has a ton of followers because of the whole conference realignment thing several years ago with Mizzou and all the stuff with Texas and all that stuff. And he'll tell you that he doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to him. Anyway, what does matter is your bank. This podcast is brought to you by Oxford University Bank. You should consider banking with OUB. It's locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. All the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, but you get a personal touch at OUB. You also get one-year CDs at 1.75% APY, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And this podcast is brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So please visit our website at meganmphillips.com. That's meganmphillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929.
You know, us in Missouri and Auburn, I mean, obviously corporate likes us well enough from a business standpoint, but I have a feeling we're probably not winning Mr. Congeniality Awards amongst the network a little bit.
I don't think I'll win Mr. Popularity.
Do you not?
No.
Jay and Gabe don't appear to be either.
No. Did pretty good on the Get Gear 99 promotion.
Did, yeah.
It's not over yet, by the way. As far as I know, no one has sent me the email that
said... No, there were 750 left network-wide as of yesterday, which typically, the way, at the rate it's been running, will run sometime between late Tuesday and early Wednesday for that. So, probably got about a day left-ish.
The way that works, go to... let's see, what's the best way to do it? Go to... If you're listening to the podcast and you don't have a subscription to Rivals.com... It's okay.
Just go sign up.
It's okay. You've been using your buddy's pod. You've been using your buddy's login. It's cool.
Neil will forgive you.
I'll forgive. I can't even forget. But I'll forgive. No one will know. I'll never know. I'm not going to ask. You don't have to tell. But go to olemiss.rivals.com/signup offer. That's sign_up_offer. Enter the code GETGEAR99. You'll get a year of RebelGrove.com. You'll get a $99 voucher. It's going to take 48, 72 hours, but it will come.
Yep.
You'll get it. You'll get a voucher for gear at the Rivals Fan Shop for $99. It's got all the new shark gear is there. The insignia with the fin going over the state, that's there. The shark that kind of looks like an M.
The shark M and the fin M.
Yeah, that's there. So... And then if you say, hey, I don't really want more Ole Miss stuff right now, I'm pretty excited about the Braves. I'm pretty excited about the Cardinals. I'm pretty excited about Chad Kelly. I want to get a Chad Kelly jersey. You can do that. Rivals Fan Shops, all there. You can get all sorts of stuff.
Also noticed you can go ahead and get any of the Landshark gear in cold weather stuff like hoodies and pullovers and that kind of stuff. And they also had the script M, just the M on a lot of stuff at toboggans, sweatshirts, and other stuff as well. That stuff's not as widely available, but it was in the Rivals Fan Shop. So yeah.
There you go.
A lot of your brethren taking part in it. I think we're number two in the network for the Get Gear promotion right now. Oklahoma blowing everybody away because of the Jordan brand switch. And then Florida State doing quite well, but they have their own apparel provider that is not the Rivals Fan Shop, so they're having to run
a
separate program.
Well, Lottie freaking die.
Lottie freaking die. Yeah.
I'll take the bronze medal all day long in
You're
these
good?
Competitions. Yes, sir.
You're the guy that's happy to finish third behind the two
I'm standing
the two
on
dudes.
That little third spot on the thing, and I got a big smile on my face, and I'm
You're
all
hugging the other two dudes.
Damn right.
Congratulations.
I'm smiling.
I think occasionally, like, you know, the Americans get the third place spot, like in the marathons, like behind the two Kenyans. You know, occasionally we finish third.
The funniest, and I know you've heard this 1,000 times, the funniest... when it's done properly, the funniest sign at a marathon when you're running, you're about 11, 12 miles in, and you're thinking, this happened to me in my first one, because I ran the first Chicago marathon in just over 4 hours. It was like 4 hours and 3 minutes, which for a first-time marathoner at my age.
It was very, very good.
It was really good. And I was in great shape. I wasn't hurt, and I did really well. I had a great pace. I ran the first 2 hours.
That was the day after A&M.
I ran the first half in right at 2 hours. I ran the second half in 2 hours and 3 minutes. That's pretty steady. That's real solid. But at about the 13-mile mark, the sign popped up. It was about 12-mile mark. Hurry up. The Kenyans are drinking your beer.
Because they're done.
Because they're finished. I laughed so hard. It was like that little moment where you start reading the signs and hurry up. The Kenyans are drinking your beer. They're not drinking your beer, but their beer's waiting for the Kenyans at that point. They're free to drink it. I still had another.
Do you even want a beer after 26.2 miles?
Yes.
You do?
I did. Okay. I drank my beer and took the beers of a couple people who did not want their beers. They handed me their voucher, and I went back and got another beer.
Did you?
I did.
Then you have to walk back to your hotel.
I did, with two beers.
So you've done, okay, I've gone 26.2 miles, and now I got to walk a mile and a half back somewhere.
I had to walk. It was a good 2.5 to 3 miles. Because I'll tell you why I know that. I'll tell you why I know that. And then I had to walk a long way to get to it to start. When I finished that day, my watch, my miles and stuff was like over 30 miles. It was like 31.
Caloric burn. What are we looking at?
It was like 5,500. if I remember right, 5,700, something like that.
Okay.
It was a lot. I remember that night, I ate a big thing of wings. I ate a bison burger. And that night, I woke up at 2 in the morning just starving, and I ate a bag of M&Ms. Because they were sitting there.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have eaten literally whatever you wanted.
Yeah, that's what I ate. Ate wings, a bison burger, and then woke up and had M&Ms.
Well, M&Ms are fine.
Yeah, I was just hungry. Whatever was sitting there was what I was going to eat, unless it was a banana.
Well, you need the potassium. You're going to cramp up.
Yep.
Good. I was just looking. Hey, running back is the surprise player for the Broncos this season per the ESPN.comers. Phillip Lindsay. Just noticed that. I was scrolling for any Ole Miss related tidbits, but not apparently going to get any. So, okay, we got coverage tomorrow from practice, and then again on Thursday we'll have a soft verbal this week as well. Greatest pod was done Saturday, and then
we'll do another one late this week.
The beer garden on Sunday, so kind of the rundown there of the MPW Digital podcast. I was asked about on the message board yesterday. So we're on Podbean, and Podbean automatically puts this podcast on Spotify. That's why it's on Spotify. So if you don't know that, you can go to Spotify and listen to this here show. I've requested for the other ones to go to Spotify as well. So a lot of people are asking for it. We don't get the download numbers on that show that this show does, so it's a little harder to push it through, but I'm working on it, so we'll see where it goes. But anyway, this one is available, though, on Spotify if that is the choice for your music. I think we're on Google Music as well. I at least told it to go there, so I'm assuming it does. It does most days. But a lot of stuff at rebelgrove.com. Take care of the Get Gear 99 promo if you haven't already. Head on over, read, watch the videos, participate in our crazy community on the message board as well. So appreciate you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.